Okay. So the Gemara said, we're trying to analyze at the beginning of the third parak, Machlekes, or Meir Chachamim, whether or not the Balei Dinim had the ability to invalidate the Edim, and the Gemara also had Legabe the Dayanim of the other litigant. So the Gemara originally said, wanted to suggest that the Hasseling was only referring to one aid, but and then we had an entire shiur what that meant, one aid, and regarding what. And the Gemara ends up rejecting that, because the Gemara says, Midiktani Resha Dayana Vesefa Eidov Alma Dafka Ktani. Sounds like it's Hasseling two aidim, and it's not Hasseling only one aid. So how does the litigant have the ability to Hassel two aidim? So says the Gemara, it's by the Aleph of the Rambam, Amar Ablozer, on Chav Gimel Mebeis, 10 lines down, Amar Ablozer, Bebahu Va'achar L'Paislan. He is coming and joining with another witness to passel the other Edim. That's why he has the ability to passel two Edim. So Gemara asks Akasha, that makes no sense. Kol Kamine Nageh Be'edisu. Again, he has a bias. He is a Nogev Eidus. So why should he even have the ability to join with another aid to invalidate that witness, these witnesses? His Eidus should not be accepted whatsoever, and he shouldn't even be granted the ability. How could Rabbi Meir say he has the ability to invalidate other witnesses if he's the litigant? So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about that he's the Karel of Irr. Rashi says, what's Irr? He's Baldin Oimer Lefaneinu Amahu Poslo V'yesh Achar Imo Irr Shemetz Shel Psul. He's just raising doubts. He's bringing, he's not invalidating him in totality, but rather he's bringing a Shemetz Shel Psul. Fine. So the Gemara says, how does that help things? Irr demai. What type of error? What type of shemetz? What type of invalidation? Even a taint of the invalidation. Ilema irr de gazlanusa. If it's an error, if it's a question of what that he's a gazlan, right? So the Gemara says. So then we're back to the original question. We're back to square one. Kol kamina negoya be'edusu. So he's biased. He shouldn't believe that this other person's a gazlan. So the Gemara says what? Rather, it's what? It's irr to pegam mishpacha. He raises a psul that what? There's a pegam mishpacha in this person's lineage. Rashi, eved hu mi mishpachas eved shalein eshtachar ba upasal hu mi mishpachta. He comes and he says, by the way, this person's yichus is from mishpachas eved, and therefore ultimately he's coming from avodah. Rav Meir Savar, so listen to the Machlokes. How does it translate back into the Mishnah? Rav Meir Savar, Hani Amishpacha Kamasidi. Rav Meir says, what do you want from me? This guy, the litigant who has the bias, right? He says, I'm not being made against the aid. I'm being made about his great-grandmother. So, I'm being made on the Mishpacha. So, there's no problem for me to talk about the Mishpacha. V'iyu Mamela Kapasel. And, oh, he happens to be a descendant of that great-grandmother. Okay, I'm sorry. But I testified about something that was totally mutter. Rabbanan Savre, sof no gave edusu. Rabbanan say, how could you apostle him? It makes no sense. Therefore, the Rabbanan argue on the Mishnah with Rameyer, and they say, at the end of the day, you're a no gave edus. So, Rabbi Yisrael, I ask you kash number one for tonight's shiur. How does Rameyer get around what Rabbanan just said? So, he's like, no gave edusu. It's a pasha claim. You have a case. You're about to lose. Their witness is up against you, right? And you push it nailed. And you just come up with a story that his grandmother is it's in order to serve your bias. It's no gay babies. So how does the Reb Meir disagree with that? So that's question number one. So Gemara continues. Before we get to that Hezver, let's continue fighting a little bit in the Gemara. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi and Vashem Rav Yochanan clarified a little bit. The Machlekes of Rav Meir and Chachamim is not the way it presented. It's not the way it seems. Machlekes b'shtei kita eid. The machlekes is when there were two groups of Eidim. The Rav Meir Savar Tzarech Levarer, Rabbanan Savri Ein Tzricha Levarer, Ela Bekat Acha, Ein Tzricha Levarer. Aval Bekat Acha Az Divri Akol Ein Yochel Uposla. So what happened over here? Rav Dimi says, by the way, I just want to explain something to you. Rav Meir Chachamim do not have a disagreement if there's only one group of Eidim over here. Everyone would agree that if there's only one set of Eidim, you can't, even Rav Meir would agree you can't invalidate the Eidim, because that makes no sense. So what was the case? Case was that there were two groups of Eidim. Two groups of Eidim. And what's the machlekes? There's a few different gersos in the Gemara over here, but let's just explain simply the way Rashi presented originally. There's a concept called Tzarech Levar. Guy walks into court, and he starts showing off, and he says, I don't only have two Eidim. I have two sets of Eidim. Okay? So now, Rav Meir holds, if you put your foot in your mouth, and you started showing off that you have a lot of proof, you better back up that proof. So Rav Meir holds al pidin, I'm chuyev to bring everything that I claim. So even though al pidin, right, everyone agrees, al pishnayim, the best proof in the world is two eidim. Al pishnayim eidim is the best. Ain't raya better than two eidim. But because you were mechayev yourself, let's understand, tzarech levar. So you have to at least bring those two eidim because you have to match up with what you said. Okay? So how does that translate back to whether or not the litigant can invalidate witnesses? So Rashi, at least in the first Girsa, explains as follows. Rashi says, Rav Meir Savar Tzarech Levar, Rabbanan Savar Ein Tzarech Levar. So therefore what? Since Rabbi Meir holds what? That if I hold that there are four witnesses, that there are two sets of witnesses, I actually have to back up my claim, and I have to bring the other Eidim. So Rashi, in the first explanation, explains, that's why Rabbi Meir is able to hold that I can invalidate the first set of witnesses, because I'm not an Ogei of Eidus. Why? Because he has to bring the other set of witnesses anyways, because Tzarech Levar. So since he has to bring the other sets of witnesses anyways, so it's not going to be an Ogei of Eidus, because he's going to have two sets of Eidim anyways. He claims he has two sets of Eidim, but Rabbanan will hold what? He could show off as much as he wants. Two Eidim are as strong as anything, and ain't Tzarech Levar. So according to Rabbanan, that's why they hold in our Mishnah that you can't invalidate the original witnesses, since they hold Ein Tzarech Levar. So he doesn't have to get the other two witnesses. So now you're only invalidating the only two witnesses that he has. That's Nogeya Be'edus. So that's the Gemara. That's at least the way Rashi originally explains the Gemara. Aval Bekat Achas, but everyone holds, when it's one set of Eidim, everyone would agree that you would never be able to invalidate, because like we said, that's simply Nogeya Be'edus. So Gemara says, Amru lefon of Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Rav Ami and Rav Asi said in front of Rav Dini, Ein sham ela kat achas mahu. What happens if there's only one kat? There's only one group of Eidim. So, didn't we just say? If there's only one group of Eidim, everyone would hold it. That's no Geba Eidus. We only said that their machlekes was by Tzarech Levar, where there's shnei ktei Eidim. So Gemara asked that. We just said that. One group of Eidim, everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Meir is in agreement that you can't possibly, you can't invalidate them. Elo, so the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood what our kasha was. Listen to the case. Nimtzeis kat shnia kroivin opsulin. Ma. What happens in the following? You had two groups of Eidim, right, which according to Rabbi Meir would tell us what? That since Tzarech Levar, you have the ability to invalidate, because you're always going to have a backup second of Eidim. What happens if the second set of Eidim turn out to have their own set of Psulim and they fall by the wayside? Will Rabbi Meir concede and say in such a situation, no, that's no Geba Eidus? Or will Rabbi Meir say, no, that's not a problem, because at the time, that wasn't problematic. Excellent. So listen to what the Gemara says. Let's read the Gemara. So what is Gemara Paskin? Mahu. So it's right before the wide lines. Amr lehen kvaru idu edu harishain. Amr lehen kvar he idu edim harishain. What in the world does that phrase mean?
Amar lahem, he says, the answer is, Kfarei idu edim rishon. What do you say, Drew?
Accept the testimony.
You accepted the testimony. Whose testimony?
The kata rishon.
Which kata rishon?
Who
is it? Your understanding. You understood that Kfarei idu edim rishonim, that they were already testified, meaning the first kat. So therefore, you are accepting the invalidation of Remeir, or you're not accepting the invalidation of Remeir? Yeah, you can. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. You see where the Rashi is? The second Rashi in the wide lines? It's like nine lines down. Everyone with me? Kishinimtseis kat shnia psula. When that second kat that we were always relying on, because of Tzarech Levar, right? Oh, it turned out there was evidence that they're gazlonim, whatever, right? Nothing to do with our case. Kvar neskabla bekashrus edusan she'elu hame'idin ala psul. Va'adayin lo hoya no yegeya be'edus ume'achash neskablu be'hechsher. What does Rashi just say? Who's Kfar He'idu Edu Arishainim? At the time when Rabbi Meir said, I, the litigant, and this other guy have the ability to invalidate the first kat. Why did I have the ability? Why? Because Rabbi Meir holds Tzarech Levar. There has to be another kat, right? Turns out, a few days later, the second kat turned to be what? Edim Psulim. So now, Limafreya, you want to say what? We shouldn't accept your invalidation of the first kat, because that's all we have to rely on, right? Says the Gemara, Kfari Idu Edu Arishainim. Kfari Idu Edu Arishainim means you accept the Edus that I testified to invalidate the first kat, and Eina Hanami, it still works. The invalidation process. That's Kfari Idu Edu Arishainim. Lishna Achrina. Then Rashi has a stekwa. This is the Gemara Sufik within Rabbi Meir. Yeah. Lishna Achrina. According to Rabbanu, we wouldn't even have a Sufik. Yeah. Lishna Achrina. Kvari idua edim arishoinim kat harishoina. Sheidu beidusim shel baledinim. The edim that have testimony that I want to invalidate. Umehemne. The kevan de shnia psula. Since it turns out that the second kat was pasul. So now the invalidation doesn't work for the first set of Eidim. Why? Because it's Nogeh Be'edus. So you have a vague line in the Gemara, Kfari Idu Eidim Arishayinim, and Rashi has two unbelievable Lishnas. Is it what? Is it saying that my invalidation works? Because that's Kfari Idu Eidim Arishayinim? Or is it saying, Pumfakir, the opposite. Kfari Idu Eidim Arishayinim, therefore don't touch them because you're Nogeh Be'edus. What's the two lishnas about? What's the machlekes? So, Rabbi Yisai, that's the second question. Yeah.
From a Tzarech Levar perspective, you would think that they would need to validate both of them.
You're asking an independent question. When I say Tzarech Levar, the Gemara, does that mean Tzarech Levar that both have to be kosher?
Right.
So Rashi argues what you said. Rashi thinks the gears of our Gemara makes no sense. It must be that Remeir holds Ein Tzarech Levar, the opposite of everything we presented, because of the argument that you just presented. He says, what's Tzarech Levar if it turns out to be Psulin? So I could argue with you in defense of the first Lishna. Tzarech Levar just means, honestly, in terms of evidence, we don't need this to rely on. We just want to know, are you a liar? I mean, produce the facts. You claim there's a lot of people that actually know about this, but even if we can't rely on it in terms of Bezdin and Psak, but like, back up your claim. Present all these people that are... So it could be that even Edim Sulim, one could argue, in terms of my claim and whether or not I'm just trying to like boast over here and I have nothing to back it up, so even Edim Sulim might help in that... It's not that the Tzarech Levar is actually giving a better beer and a Gevurei Rai, it's just back up what you said. If you say something, so you better have someone to back up with. But what's this machlekes about whether or not, like Jerome said and presented earlier, can you become a nogeya be'edus l'mafreya? The second Lishna of Rashi is saying, at the time that you were made, Lamafreyo, now we realize the second Eidim Arif, so now you're no gay. So what does the other Lishna say? Clearly against that. You can't become a no gay Lamafreyo. Oh, excellent, excellent. So what is the Nekudas HaMachlekes? Two Lishnas in Rashi, which ultimately we have a, which we think is basically totally on the following issue. If you're a Nogei Be'edus, you're a Nogei Be'edus not at the time that you give the Edus. You're a Nogei Be'edus post facto Limafreya. So would that be considered a Nogei Be'edus or not? That's our question. Keep in the back burner the original question that we asked in the Gemara. What was the Machlekes in the beginning of Ramei Rabbanon to be made about a person's grandmother that Rav Meir held that a person's grandmother is not considered being made because that's I'm made on the grandmother, I'm not great on the person. And Rabbanan argued very, very understandably, you're a nogeya. So, nogeya be'edesu. What's that in Nekudas HaMachlekes? Yeah.
When is the timing of his edus that when he's nogeya? Because if you say Kumafre, he already gave his edus.
Right. So at the time, I wasn't a nogeya because there was a second set of edus. So can you kick...
Can you say that the edus has to be like existing like forever to say Lamafreya that it's not? I mean, it's already accepted.
It's accepted. The edus was accepted. Now, I invalidated them. Now I invalidated. But at the time that I invalidated, the Gemara wants to say, I wasn't a nogeya. I didn't have a psul nogeya. Right? Why? Because there were another set of edim over there. Now, post facto, things happen in the world, and that invalidated the second set. And it turns out that when I gave Edus about this other set, I was actually a Nogea. Does it kick in or does it not kick in?
Well, we never know that another set of Edus is
not. Right. It's only relevant once this happens. It turns out that the other set of Edim became Psulim. So now, when I invalidated the first set, it turns out, even though we thought you weren't Nogea, now it turns out, Lamafreya, that you're Nogea. Is that a Psul Nogea or not? So let me ask you the following child. You're right. 100%. Things can change, right?
You're saying even
outside of cases with two sets of Edom, you're saying what happens if you gave Edus and it turns out that
at some point they have to give up stock.
I mean, usually when you're talking about a case, right? If you had a partnership or you had what to gain. So then, and you were an Ogea, so then if that comes out later, then we're all invalidated. You can't, if you become a partner later, right, that's going to be Mikana Lahaba, that's not going to, but at the time, if we see there was, you had biased interest, so then that would be a problem. So, Rabbi Zai, I want to ask the following question. What happens if I want to give Edus in a case that relates to me, but I want to give it to my detriment? What's the difference? A person has the ability to aser himself. Means in the world of Isser V'Heter, I have the ability to say this piece of meat is treif. First of all, that has no relevance for anyone else in the world. It's only something that relates to me, and it doesn't have a din of edus. Right? So I have the ability, just like I have the ability, according to the Ksosos Choshen, the way you understand Shavi HaChatichah D'Yisur is, just like you can take a neder, so you can ask for this piece of meat on yourself. Okay, you want to do that, Gezuntehe, you have that ability to do that. You can create parshiyos in the Torah that relate to you yourself. But you don't have the ability to obligate other people based on your statements. What? No, you're not giving edus to make yourself a Rasha. You're giving edus, let's say like this. Yeah, exactly. I have a court case with you, and I say I want to give edus, and I think Jerome's right, and I'm gonna have to pay now $100,000. So what do you mean? So you're a nogeya?
Yes.
So yeah, but I'm nogeya, but I'm not using my negius. So here's the question. Oh, excellent.
So if you look in the Chayshim Mishpat and Siman Lamed Zayin right here, the Shach, in the first Shach and Siman Lamed Zayin, he quotes, if you see the first line, he quotes from the Ir Shushan. The Ir Shushan is the Levush. Right? So Levush said, and this is a tremendous debate in the postkam, I'm just going to quote you some of the names, the Nesivis, the Tumim, and the Ktsois, they all debate this issue on whether or not a Nogeya has the ability to testify to his detriment. What is that based on? Let's just sum it up. What is the Psul Nogeya based on? If you say, like Mark says, that Nogeya is what we'll call a Baldover. He's like a Karov. He's one of the active parties. So an active party can't be an aid. He's a Pussel aid. That's just, I don't care which way you look at it, he's a Pussel aid. So that's something that's going to be invalid, whether or not it's to his detriment, or whether or not it's going to be to his benefit. But the Shach disagrees with the Rosh Hashanah. And we'll see in a second, this is a Machlokus Rishonim of Baba Basra. The Chashash says it's not true. In aid, that's Nogeya Be'edus, our Psul and our Gemara, is all based on what? Chashash Meshaker. I am worried that if you're Nogeya, you're going to lie. By definition, many poskim hold that what? That only exists if it's to my benefit. I'm never going to lie for my detriment. Nogeya Be'edus isn't really a Psul. It's not like a Karav. It's just that you technically can't give Eidus when we can't believe your Eidus because you're a Chashash Meshaker. What's the case? There's a Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is quoted here in the Shach. You see in the parentheses, Baba Basra Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Yermaska de Abaye. Right? Makshina Oila. The Rishonim will ask a Kasha. Al Milsa de Shmuel. The Omer Shema Amida Befnei Balchov. Let me give you a little background to what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara talks about the following case. There's a sale. There was a sale on property. Okay? A sale on property, and now there's a question, what happened with the sale? The Gemara says, can the seller testify about the case? Now the Gemara puts in a stipulation. It was a sale beloy achrayis. Which means what? Which means no one's coming after me. Okay? So there's no achrayis. So I don't have anything to lose in terms of the world of achrayis. So the Gemara says, afal pichin, even though the mechira was done below achrayis, Shmuel said, ein hamoicher meir. Why? Mipnei shema'amido eitzo balchovo. Because he's going to give testimony to enable what? His balchov to be able to get the karka. Why would he want that? So the Gemara explains, because there's a klal, loiva rasha v'lo yishala. A loiva, a borrower that doesn't pay, is considered a rasha, the pasuk says. So he doesn't want to be considered a rasha. So therefore he wants his balei chovos to have access to this field, and therefore he's going to testify in a certain way. So the Rishonim say, one second, this guy cares about being calling a rasha? If he cares about being calling a rasha, so then what? He's not going to want to give aid to sheker either. So why are we not allowing him to testify? So that's the Rishonim's kasha in the sugya of Vasa. Doesn't make sense. Just because of Leiva Rasha Lishayim, he has no monetary benefit over here. He doesn't want to be called a Rasha. That's why he's going to be mamed the case by to be accessible to the Balchova. So he also doesn't want to be a chakra and violate this answer. So the Rishonim all work on that kasha. The Rishonim give two answers. One answer the Rishonim is, no. It's just because he's not allowed to be made. He's a Baldov. The other answer the Rishonim, the Rimagash gives, is what? Is that he, since in the public eye, we're going to talk about what? Leiva Rasha below Yishalim. He has more of a negius to be considered a Rasha, legabi not paying his chovos, and he'd rather protect himself from that rumor than something you're not even going to find out about, the fact that he lies in court about this case. So which means the Rimagash said the other pshat in the Rishonim is insufficient. The psul of Nogeya Be'edus is not because of Baldover, but rather it's because there has to be some chshash sheker, which is ultimately going to be our question on whether or not a Nogeya Be'edus has the ability to testify to his detriment. But ultimately this is going to have other implications. There is a question of the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech raises the following question. What happens? We know the din is that an aid that's a pasul
and he's in the cat, and he's in a group, so nimtzech echad mehem karv apostle, one of the edim comes out to be a psul, so the whole cat falls apart. Nimtzech and karv apostle, nimtzeh edusim b'teilu. So ask the Mishnah now, what happens if one of the edim turn out to be nogeh? Would you say that that now invalidates the whole cat? Or would you say that no, that he has a problem, but that doesn't affect? So could be, the Stipler thinks, that should affect our Shiloh. If you understand that a nogeh be'edus is actually a puzzle of aid, so perhaps one could argue that, yeah, that would be a reason to invalidate. But if you understand that what? That is just a chash mishakir, so that is not necessarily going to be a reason, why you're going to be invalidated. So there are a few different sugyas that are affected by our discussion of how to understand no geya be'edus. But what's fascinating is that lemaisa, it comes out of our gemara. Again, we had a discussion. Tzarech levar. The mayor holds you have to bring two sets of edim. If you claim that there are more edim to discuss your issue. So the Gemara wants to know what happens if one of those sets of edim, right, the second set of edim that you were relying on, and therefore the mayor allowed you to invalidate the first set, turns out to be psula. So the Gemara says a vague line, kvar yidu edu rishonim. So Rashi has two languages, Rashi has two lishnos. Whether or not that means we accept your invalidation, or no, it means the opposite. We don't accept your invalidation. Kvar yidu edu rishonim means we accept the edus of the rishonim, and you can invalidate those edim because what? Nimsa that you're nogeh l'mafreh. Why should one say that I should or should not be a nogeya l'mafreya, Rabosai? Let's first say it out. What would be the possibility to explain these two Lishonos and Rashi? Right. I think if you understand that all nogeya be'edus is chashah sheker, and you would take the approach that my detriment, I'm believed, even in a situation where I'm nogeya be'edus. So perhaps one could say, if at the time when you invalidated them, you didn't have a negiyus, and you were impartial, so then we accept your invalidation. Things turned out that it turned out that you needed to rely on those edim, and now they're nullified. Doesn't matter. But lamaisa, you accept my edus, and the psul of nogeya be'edus is not a problem. But if there's an objective psul, and it doesn't necessarily have to be dependent on my chash sheker and what my gains are, but even to your detriment, we would invalidate a nogeya be'edus. So perhaps that's the other pshat in Rashi. If whatever happens, we have certain evidence that come out afterwards that it turns out these edus were necessary because what? Everyone agrees, like the Gemara said, if you only had kadachas, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you can't nullify those edim. We're only talking about a situation where they're stakey the edim. So if it's kat achas, you're not allowed to. So since it turned out that the second group of edim that we were relying on were psulim, and now when you invalidated the first edim, you were a nogeya. If it's not based on chash sheker, but it's an objective psul that I'm a baldover, I can't talk about cases that relate to me. No matter which way you look at it, for the positive or for the negative, so then that's something that could exist retroactively. A psul of a baldover is something that is objective that could even kick in retroactively and perhaps suggest the Stipler that is exactly the nekudas hamachloikes between the two lishnas and Rashi of how to read this line of the Gemara of kvar yidu edus harishonim. Do we accept your invalidation according to Rav Meir, or do we not accept your invalidation according to Rav Meir? Can the psul nogeya kick in lemafreya? Might be connected to all those different shitas and that entire machlokes rishonim, whether or not nogeya is neman to his detriment, whether or not you're going to say nimtzef and karvu pasul, all those shilas, and ultimately based on what the psul nogeya, if you hold like the levush, that it's based on baldover, or if you hold like the shach, that it's based on chashah sheker.
Why can't you say that he's still chashah sheker even if he's not nogeya?
Again, the second, the first cat, you mean?
Even if there is no psul.
Again, well, let's go just go through the case. The Gemara says that you have two sets of Eidim.
Yeah.
Turns out you invalidated the first set because you thought that there was a second cat set because we held Tzarech Levar.
And nothing yet happens in the second set. You, but maybe you just wanted to invalidate because you're upset and you just, you know, you don't like the guy. I mean, you're involved and you just want to mess up one of his cats.
Yeah, but that has no, the Mara's assuming that since that has no effect on the case, so we can't give you a psul then, according to the Meir. It's only once that it's affecting the case that now you're nogea.
So then is a chashaker only derived once you have a nogea?
Yeah.
If you had some other chashaker, we wouldn't care about it.
Nogea is only derived if you have only have a chashaker. It's the opposite. Nogea is possible because of chashaker.
But I'm saying theoretically.
Chashaker is only when there's a nafkamina, yeah. Right, that's what we're saying. To the detriment, you're believed.
Right, I mean, but you could.
So also something parv. Something parv. If there's no chash sheker, it's parv. It's not to the detriment. It's only for your benefit. That's what chash sheker is based on.
Right. But I guess what I was just trying to say is that therefore chash sheker needs to somehow emanate from the fact that you're nogea. I mean, they need to go together at the same time.
Right, but we don't know what nogea. Right. Yeah, 100%. Correct. Right. That's it. The Gemara says it's because you're a nogea. So now, why is nogea possible? Either it's because it's a definite psul, it's an objective psul, or it's because, no, at that point in time, you have something to gain, and therefore there's a chash sheker. That's why we can't believe you. But you're not, technically, there's no problem in Hilchos Eidus. Meaning, I don't know fundamentally, when we talk about an aid, is an aid the antithesis of a nogea? That's not an aid. That's a psul baldover. Or no, you could be an aid even though you're a nogea baldover. But what? We just can't believe you in certain directions because what? Because we might think you're lying. So you're an aid. That's meshaker. That's a tremendous distinction within the approaches. Come on. There's a fascinating sugya b'vasra in the Daf before. The sugya b'vasra in Daf Mem Gimel. That the Gemara talks about a shul. Gemara says a shul that had a Sefer Torah that was stolen from them. So the Gemara said there were two guys that knew about the story that were members of the shul. So the Gemara says they can't be made because they're no gay. So the Gemara says v'lisfliku v'etre. Let them give up their membership for the shul. And then they could be made. So all the Rishonim asked the Kasha there, I don't understand. There's a din, there's a halacha, there's a Gemara later on, but Bavasar on Dafkuf Chalchesim Abbez. The Gemara says that by Eidus, it's not enough to be a Kasher Eid when you actually testify. You need Tchiloso V'Sofo B'Kashrus, which means I had to be a Kasher Eid at the time of the Re'iyas HaMaisa also. So you need to be in the entire time a Eid Kasher, Tchiloso V'Sofo B'Kashrus. So Taisis there, the Rishonim all asked Akasha, how could you remove your membership? At the time of the Geneva, you had a psul. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, you're right. Chilas of Asova Bakashas doesn't apply to something that's not a psul guf. That's not like a ganav or something that's a real bona fide psul. It's just the psul nogeya. That's not a problem. Chilas of Asova Bakashas. Other Rishonim say, no, over here, you would apply Tchilas of Asofa V'Kashas, but it's different because Baldavar is the antithesis of what an aid is. That's not an aid with a shame psul. It's just, you were never an aid. You're nothing. Because you're a Baldavar, so therefore, it is considered Tchilas of Asofa V'Kashas. That's what some of the Rishonim suggest. So it could be, the Stipler actually suggests this in the piece on over here on the other side. If you see in the second column, the second paragraph, v'shnei adrochem uvur b'shut megvetzes b'avaser daf mem gimel b'shem arashba, v'had uvur hasan demahani b'nogeya be'edus siluk. The guys who are nogeya members in the shul, they can remove themselves from the membership. Kasher al ba'inam be'edim tchilas v'sofa v'kashus, deveteretz arishin kasa b'shem arayvid tchibainin shelo yeh tchilas v'paslus hani mi l'psul guf o psul kurva avahalchem yichchum shadahu chimasalig negius anema. What's the first answer saying? This is not a psul guf. Why is it not a psul guf? It's nogeya. What's nogeya? Nogeya is a chashash meshaker. That's not like a puzzle aid. That's just, you're an aid. But what? You have nogeya, so we can't believe you for your aidus in terms of that. Right? Very similar to the poskim that will hold, the opaskim halacha. If it's to your detriment, you are believed because you're an aid. It's not removing your whole shame aidus, puzzling you from your shame aidus. Whereas the other, Veloshan Acha, the other Rishonim say, the Gabe Mamon lo mikrit chilas of Absul, the cave in the Matile Ano lav bar aidus uklal. He's not an aid at all. He's a baldover. Fashta Basin is going to do so, who the chalale shame aid. So they told what? No. Your shame aid only begins when? When you remove your negias, and that's chilas of Sofa Bakashas, because you were never an aid when you're a baldover. That's these two sides of the coin over here. What is the psul of a nogeya? Is nogeya an aid with a problem that we can't accept it because of your chashash mishaker? Or no, you're a baldover, and therefore you're never even an aid. In our situation, we hold you're even puzzled for your detriment. But in the sugya, in the issue of chilas of the sofa bakashas, we could say ignore the original situation because he was never an aid because he had such a psul of being even a baldover, and his shame aid only starts later. And that in that situation, they hold that's chilas of the sofa bakashas when you entered into the realm of aidus. But that fundamentally gets to the point that we were discussing. Whether or not this is going to be the psul of baldover, whether or not it's going to be a psul of chashash shaker, is whether or not you're even in the parsha of discussing if you're an aid, if you have a negev, if you have negev as beedis. It's a fascinating issue. What intuitively we think is the most puzzle type of aid, because you have a bias. You're not a witness. A witness, by definition, is someone who doesn't have a bias. Is nothing to gain. So that is not necessarily so clear. Is it a stira to the concept of aidus to have a bias, or is it that it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction, but we just technically can't accept you in certain scenarios where we think you might be lying, but you could really have a shame aid for the parsha of aidus, even if we're not going to accept your aidus. It's a fascinating conceptual idea whether or not a person with a partial bias would that necessarily be considered a contradiction to the concept of aidus. Let's say the following situation. Let's say I was invalidating these aidin, like the Gemara was talking about, but the invalidation, the Agos Hashri as a suffix, the invalidation was something that I was saying way before the case. For years I was saying that guy's a Goslin. That's such a Goslin. Right? And then it turns out, I happen to have Zvi Nafkamina, the fact that I say he's a Goslin. And I continue to say that he's a Goslin when it affects me. What a ganef. Yeah? So the Gos Hashri has a suffix whether or not that would be considered no gay be'edus. What's the suffix based on? At the time I said it, it's not chashash meshaker. I've been saying it for years. I had nothing to gain. Well, that Remeir apparently holds not. Remeir holds bahu v'acher l'poslo, and Chachamim say, we're only going to accept this if this is proven. Or if there are other aidim, but you have no way of it. From Meir holds, as long as I have another aid that will back me up, I can invalidate your witnesses, the litigant that's testifying against me. So perhaps based on this very issue, if you were saying it for years, it's not chashash sheker, because you've been saying it even before there was a bias over here. But if you hold, how can you accept this from me? At the end of the day, it's a psul, it's a baldover. Right now, I can't accept that aidus. I don't care how long you've been saying it. It's not a chashash sheker issue. It's invalid aidus because you're a baldover. So perhaps that is exactly the suffix of the Hagos Hashri in such a scenario. Let's just finish the sugya of nogeya be'edus, and let's plug it into the original Gemara. Again, the Gemara opened up and says, no, you misunderstood the machlokes of Meir Chacham. What's the machlokes of Meir Chachamim? Whether or not the aid can be, that the litigant himself can join with another aid and pasul. Gemara says, pasul? What type of psul is he saying? The Gemara says, he's not giving a direct psul. He's giving up gam mishpacha. He's saying that his great-grandmother was an eved, and therefore, ultimately, that invalidates his testimony. Says the Rabbanon, right? Says the Gemara, let's read the Gemara again. The Meir Sover, hani am mishpacha kamasidi. When you look at it, what I'm being made on, what am I being made on? I'm not being made on him. I'm being made on his, on the... On the Goldstein Mishpacha, on the great Bubba. That's who I'm being made. That's what my aides is about. Dr. Agbara back, Rabbanan Savri, what? Soif soif nageya be'edesu. Perhaps, even at the get-go of the Gemara, perhaps just a way to understand the Havamina of the Gemara, perhaps could be dependent on our Chakira. If you understand there's a Chashash Meshaker, so that's what Rabbanan is saying. Who cares what you're being made on? So you're right. Your direct edus has nothing to do with this person, and it happens to be totally indirect, the fact that it's affected. But at the end of the day, the reason why you're doing it indirect is because what? You have what to gain? There's a Chashash Meshaker over here. Like the opinion of the Shach, that the Psul Noge is based on, and that's exactly the Lashon of the Gemara. Seif, seif, Nogeya be'edus here. Seif, seif, you have what to gain over here. Seif, seif, you're a Chashash Meshaker. But Remeir says what? Look at the edus. What I'm being made about. Is there a Psul Nogeya, which is a defined Psul? Just like a Karov is very definitive to the people that he's being made on, so too am I puzzle in this edus. Who am I being made on? I'm being made on the Bavi. I'm not being made on it. I don't look so. It's not about... Here, it's interesting. Here, the idea of Baldover, the idea of being someone who's connected, who's connected to the case, objectively, to be an objective soul, and not to be a chash of lying, what is going to be a kula? Because if I'm being made about someone else, that I'm what? I'm totally not a Baldover about. I could be made about other aduses. This case, I happen to have Nagias with the great-great-great-great-grandson. But I want to testify about the genealogy of this, of the whole Goldstein family. So, I'm not an Ogeya there. I'm not a Baldover there. I'm not involved with that case. So, that would be a kula that, according to Remeir, perhaps that's why he didn't think that this was a Psul Baldover. Perhaps the original analysis of the Gemara, that perhaps by Pgam Mishpacha, Remeir, how did Remeir retort to Rabbanon that this wouldn't be a Negias Be'edus? It's only a Soif Soif Nogeya Be'edus if you understand, like the Shach, that the nature of Nogeya Be'edus is achshash meshaker, so therefore we have to look at what comes out of your edus, and ultimately that's going to affect your case. But if you take it as a very defined psul, as a baldover, what I'm being made about, am I a party that's involved? Would I be like a karov to that case? So then that wouldn't necessarily be a psul, and therefore you would accept his edus in the situation of Remeir. But L'chaira, I think from the Lachonus of Rashi, which affects whether or not, according to Remeir, we would accept the invalidation originally, I think that depends on this Machlokes HaPoskim, and it's a real Machlokes HaPoskim, whether or not a Nogeya has the ability to testify to his own detriment would be Tully on this very Chakira. That's a major Machlokes Rishonim in a few sugyas in Bava Basra.
That what?